No, Glinda. Dorothy is not a witch. No, Glinda. Toto is not a witch. I thought that maybe they were both witches. No, Glinda. Disappear in your bubble. Crawl back into your bubble and float away. Martin Zender here. And if you're watching the laundry cam, you can see I got a bunch of different things going on here. And I'm really excited about it. My lamp looks like some kind of a War of the Worlds arm coming to take me away. But I like the sweeping aspect of it. And of course, I mounted Judy yesterday. And there she is, Frances Ethel Gum. Yeah, that's actually her real name, Frances Ethel Gum. I have this beautiful frame. And just let me take this around here and show you this. So she's going to be here for a while. I think this poster really makes me happy. So I'm trying to get a good view of it here on the... since everything's in reverse, I'm not doing a good job. I'm trying to get you a good view of it. All right. That's just the way it's going to be for now. I hope you like it. I don't know about this arm swinging down here, but there's something about it exciting about me. And we got the laundry basket back here. Frances Gum over here. And we got that lamp coming up here. It looks like a rocket about to take off into space. I'm just very excited about it, like still art or something. Still life. I consider it somewhat of a masterpiece. All right. I talked about lowering the bar of truth. Now, I want to finish this thought. Because this is what happens when people want to redistribute faith. I told you that many people think it's unfair what God does. And so they want to equal things out. In fact, I was recently told by someone that things ought to be 50-50. Relationships. The topic was relationships. And I am really appalled by this 50-50 idea. Because it again suggests this redistributionism where it's not fail that one person should have a lot and another person should have a little. And it's not fail in a relationship that, let's say, one person should be giving a lot for a given period of time and another person not giving very much. In God's relationship, hardly anything is 50-50. God is constantly creating motion. And to do that, he creates vacuums or low pressure cells. So he has a low pressure cell here and a high pressure cell here, and that creates motion. This is what God wants. God loves inequality for now. He loves it. If you look at David and Goliath, how unequal is that? Unequal, if you prefer. David's a little boy with nothing. Goliath's the giant with more armor than the frickin' U.S. Army. So that's inequality. Israel, inequality. He takes the smallest nation and he builds up Israel's enemies in order to highlight his power. So this inequality God loves. He loves motion. He loves motion. You've heard me teach on the sexes that God creates motion. He creates a man going toward a woman. That wasn't that way when Adam contained both sexes within him. He just stood there. Duh. Is that motion? No. That's not exciting, is it? It's stagnant. It's inertia-like. Adam does not move unless acted upon by an outside force. Okay, well, he got his outside force, and now we see motion. And God creates motion. This is why you're undergoing trial right now, is because God does not like things equal. So he creates vacuums or low-pressure cells, and he wants us to be drawn toward him, drawn toward his beauty, his love, his peace. And the best way to do that is to like light a little bit of a fire under us here. It creates inequality. Air-conditioned God up there, fire down here. Love up there, hate down here. Freedom up there, bondage down here. Many of you have been through organized religions, and you really, many people have complained to me saying, Martin, why did God wait so long to bring me the truth? I had to go through this terrible organized religion that was disorganized, a disorganized, organized religion, disorganized as to its presentation of faith. It's a victim of disorganized thinking, the organized religion is. But it was necessary to create this motion. That's a low pressure cell. And then you go toward the, it's a high pressure cell, you go toward the low pressure cell. I mean, it's just constantly, they're imbalances, divinely inspired imbalances. That's why, look, I have no problem that some people have lots of faith. And Paul sets forth for the Jews, the Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, heroes of faith that they were to aspire to. These heroes of faith were people they would go toward, because the heroes of faith had a lot, and the people reading Hebrews didn't have much at all. They had very little. And so they were inspired to go toward the heroes of faith, toward the better city, the celestial city, toward liberation and freedom. Again, how does God create the movement? By establishing inequalities. Here's what people have to do to cure these inequalities, because we're in a political environment now where inequalities are bad. Oh, slavery, for instance. Of course, nobody wants slavery. It's a bad thing. But what did Paul tell some of the Greeks who were slaves? He says, you know, if you can get your freedom, try to get your freedom. But if not, then serve your master as you would serve the Lord. So Paul is actually promoting liberation within the confines of slavery. Amazing principle. Paul can live within the inequality. In fact, the inequality presents the person under slavery to show the grace of God in a way that would not be possible otherwise. In other words, the disparity there, the master-slave situation, provided an environment where the grace of God, the love of God, the peace of God could be manifest. How else do you manifest the love of God? Watch this. How else does God manifest his love except he puts it in a man who is not expounding upon it under a palm tree in Jerusalem? Oh, I love the world. And he's smoking a cigarette under a palm tree in Jerusalem. Instead, he puts that word inside a man who's hanging on a cross, a Roman stake of execution. And from there, he says, Father, forgive them. From there, he loves the world. Thus, God loves the world that he gives his only begotten son. He gives him, and he puts him in a situation where he is so unlike the priests who walk by and mock him. Did God establish differences there? Yes, he did. He purposely made that inequality. Okay, but here's what people have to do to give people who have no business having faith, to give them faith. They have, in order to redistribute the wealth of faith, which they think they must do, in order to make God look good, in order to make God fail, they have to give faith to people who don't have it. How do they do that? It's impossible. No, this is how they do it. They lower the bar of truth. That's a strategy. It's a necessary strategy if you're going to redistribute the wealth of faith. Because these people who are trying to give the faith to, they obviously don't have it. Anybody can see. You present the truth of grace to them and they hate it. They want law. They want to lord it over other people. You bring the truth of the salvation of all to them. Do they want that? No, my friends, they do not want that at all. They hate the truth of the salvation of all, which speaks again to their hatred of grace. They love the fact that they believed in Jesus. So these people aren't believers. They don't believe in the death of Christ. Because they believe in the Trinity, or they're modalists. That is, they think that there's one being who operates in different modes. So they don't believe Jesus died. How can Jesus die if Jesus is God the Father? We know he's the Son of God, but they don't believe that. They don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. Very simple statement. How easy is it? Well, apparently not very easy, but it's simple enough to think that Jesus, according to his own words, he came out of the Father. And I go back to the Father, and in the end of the eons, 1 Corinthians 15, I will be subject to the Father. So he's not the Father, therefore he could die. But Christians don't believe he died. But we're going to say that. So in other words, they can't believe an essential of Paul's gospel. An essential of Paul's gospel is the death of Christ. They don't believe that. But we're going to make them believers anyway. So it'll lower the bar of truth. And we'll say, well, you really don't have to believe in the death of Christ. You really don't have to believe that Jesus Christ saved. You can believe in free will. You can believe in eternal torment. You can believe that you saved yourself. In other words, believing Paul's gospel is great, but few people can do it. So we'll say that you can still be in the body of Christ while not believing in Paul's gospel. So these people who would lower the bar of truth in order to redistribute faith say, they actually say, that believing the truth is the same as not believing the truth. You cannot believe it or believe it. It's all the same. What a mockery that makes of Paul. What did Paul go around the earth presenting his evangel for? Why did he send his people out, Timothy and Titus and Epaphroditus, to make sure that the people believed the right thing? Why bother, Paul? It doesn't matter if they believe the right thing, because according to some of my friends here, me, Martin Zender, my friends today, you don't have to believe the right thing. You can believe the wrong thing. It's just as good. They've lowered the bar of truth in order to redistribute the wealth of faith, because in their minds, for some crazy reason, whether it's the pressure of this age, whether it's political correctness, it's their training in school, they've been to college, I don't know what the problem is, but people are just petrified that there could be any inequality today, any inequality. I love what Ronald Reagan said about women's rights. He says, equality for women will degrade women. That's what he said. I love it. Equality for women will degrade women. In other words, women wanted for years to be equal with men. But according to Ronald Reagan's viewpoint here, which is my viewpoint, women are on a pedestal. We have you on a pedestal. So in order for you to want to be like us, in our minds, in my mind, in Mr. Reagan's mind, we don't lift you up to the level of men. We must reduce you to the level of men. So now you're suffering in this rat race hellhole right along with us. We would rather take care of you like queens and princesses, but you wanna jump in the mud with us to be equal with us? Congratulations. You've just demeaned yourself. Oh, thank you, Mr. Reagan. Now, my plan, what is today? This is Wednesday. Okay, for a couple more days. I don't know if it's going to take longer. I'm going to pick up on any loose ends that I might not have gotten to with the bowls, the seven bowls. And then we're going to go to Babylon. I got some thoughts about Babylon. I got many people coming at me in different directions. What is Babylon? What is Babylon? You know, the simple answer is Babylon is Babylon. But we'll look into some of these things. But In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you like my cluster of objects here on the laundry cam. And I hope you were blessed by this presentation of truth. This is something that I've seen for a long time, and I know it's a repetitive theme, but it bears repeating that God is not an equal opportunity employer. He doesn't play fail. He doesn't pick good people for great positions and put the bad people in bad positions. In fact, his tendency is to take the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid and to promote them to great high places in his administration, in his government. And at the same time, he makes the proud low. All these disparities, all these differences, all these glorious inequalities. It is true, everything is going to come out in the wash in the end. All will be saved. All will be joined back to God. But in the meantime, let us not try to join what God has rent asunder.